that you did want to see. All right. That was the hardest part. Lazarie, all right, we're in business now. Let's talk about some of the new changes in traffic law. A lot of these slides are going to deal with DPS and Department of Motor Vehicles. But tell me, do y'all get calls about what do I do about my license, CDLs? You get this call. Y'all are the repository for all information, right? So you do cover things that maybe you're handling the warrants, maybe you're handling something very specific in your courts, but you're going to get these calls. So we're going to talk about traffic safety and transportation codes amendment. All right, driver's license handled by the Department of Transportation, correct? Now the Department of Transportation is called the Department of Motor Vehicles, the division that is going to handle your driver's licenses. So the House bill created the Department of Motor Vehicles, and it transferred the authority for the registration of vehicles over to this new division. So that is going to be, you're going to hear different vocabulary. If you're used to hearing Department of Transportation, and now you're getting calls about Department of Motor Vehicles, that's why they have morphed into a new agency. All right, the answers are in your slides. Don't look. New residents have how many days to get their Texas driver's license? 30? All right, it was 30, right? Now it's 90. All right. 60, split the baby there. Right. Yes, ma'am? 20? Nah. As of when? As of last year, as of September 1st. So this is the law. Maybe your law enforcement doesn't know this yet, but you've now got 90 days, and that's good. I think that if you've moved in from out of state, you're still unpacking, you're getting your change of address, so we're going to ease up on folks moving in from out of state. Okay, now there's new laws required for if you're under 21, you have to take a driver education course. Anybody here been teaching a teenager how to drive? Yes. I have four kids. I have survived. My baby is 22, and that's why I have this gray hair sprouting out, teaching four kids to drive. Fortunately, only two of them I had to maneuver I-35 with. But they changed the law where parents just had to log. You know, you're going to teach your kid how to drive, and you're just going to keep this logbook. Well, some parents fastidiously dealt with that. Others just, you know, take it around the block, Junior, and that is the driving education they got. Well, that wasn't working all that well, so we have tightened up again, and at least they have to take a driver education course. Okay. Waiver of driving test for anyone under 18. Can you do that? Correct. All right. Applicants, we've added a new requirement for licenses. If you are looking for a motorcycle license, you must take a... Correct. All right. Now, you've also got to take a component using... this is a new trend, the trick questions here, still seeing if your caffeine levels are up. Trend in the law, we're hearing so much about this every day. What you've got to take a new component regarding cell phone use. That's right. So especially with our young drivers, the statistics of young drivers texting and driving using their cell phones, I'm going to be teaching a class on that for our next academic year, and I can't keep my materials current because every day there's new material. There's a tragic accident, unfortunately, but the laws are changing in every state and in our cities. So there is a requirement of using the dangers of using cell phones, mobile devices when you're driving. And then also engaging in other distracting information and information related to motorcycles. So these are new laws that don't directly deal with your day-to-day job, but you are probably getting. This is a new offense. We get a lot of calls about this. The legislature created a new offense where driving while license invalid and failure to maintain financial responsibility have been enhanced to a Class B misdemeanor. Is this giving anybody headaches in their court? You know that this is an offense, but whose job is it to enhance this to a Class B? The policeman has got to acknowledge that here's two citations, and your prosecutor. I'm finding bouncing balls where the county attorneys are not wanting to deal with what they still think of as a Class C misdemeanor. But if your prosecutor, if it's filed in county court, we don't have jurisdiction of it. I'm finding more that prosecutors are deciding to treat it as two offenses. Even if it's on the same citation, that's going to be up to your prosecutor. Because an officer writes both of these offenses on a citation, that's not your formal charging instrument. So the decision to enhance it, your police officer can file with the county court, or your prosecutor's got to make that decision. That's been a source of a lot of confusion because we see in the law that if you commit these two offenses at the same time, the legislature's recognized this as a problem and wants to enhance it. If there's a crash or injury resulting when someone has committed this offense, then it's a Class A. So we're seeing it out there. I think it's a matter of education for our county attorneys. Yes, ma'am.
Where could we find this article?
I've got my code book. I can't tell you that off the top of my head, but let me get you that citation.
My second
question is it on two convictions, driving while license suspended and failure to maintain together, or is it just one or the other? Can you file it as a C?
Would it be a B if they got convicted of both?
Right, that's a good question. You would have to have, the prosecutor's going to have to prove both on this. That's correct. Good question. Upon conviction, that's correct. Let me get you that citation. Don't let me forget that, because chances are I will move on. But that's a good site, and it's one that you may have to pull out and show your prosecutor. Your prosecutors may not be aware of this. Okay, we're going to move on away from our administrative driver's license topic to distracted driving and safety issues. Any man who can drive safely while kissing a pretty girl is simply not giving the kiss the attention it deserves. All right, what we've got passed in the last legislative session are restrictions on teen drivers. We've got new laws, and again, I mentioned that there is stricter enforcement in the federal law. In every state, we're starting to see new laws enacted. Well, the state of Texas has made this tougher on teen drivers. If you're under the age of 18, teen driver is not allowed to use any wireless communication device. We may have some issues with enforcement there, but we're seeing more and more cities and more county law enforcement enforcing this. Under 18, no cell phone, no texting, no wireless communication device, and that includes hands-free. Restrictions on teen drivers, it used to be that you couldn't drive from midnight to 5 a.m. for the first 6 months of getting your license, and now it has been expanded to 12 months. All right, this cartoon, I don't know if you can read it from there. Yeah, did you read the Fed squelch that cell phone safety study? Hold on, I'll call you right back. Well, this I have this slide in there because, thank you, LaVeda, man, she is on the ball. This is awesome. That section, let's go back just a second. on the failure to maintain and driving while license invalid. You're going to find that in the Transportation Code, Section 521-457E. Thanks. 521.457 subsection E. Transportation Code, correct. You might highlight that or tab it, and some of you are going to have to show it to your prosecutor. Here I have this slide in here because in 2003, a study was commissioned by the federal government, and the results showed how dangerous it was to use cell phones and drive. Well, because that information was somewhat damning, then they squelched the results of this. And consumer organizations had to do a Freedom of Information Act to get the results of this study. So that brought it to the attention of Congress, and they did make it illegal for crossing state lines. It's an offense in the federal codes to use a cell phone if you're a motor carrier. So the federal government is taking some steps. Federal employees may not use cell phones in government vehicles. So steps are being taken. Here in Texas, no cell phones in school crossing zones. Now, the city does have to post signs. You don't need an ordinance for this, but you have to post this notification. Everybody got this in their city? No use of cell phones in school zones. We get questions. It has to be a moving vehicle, right? You can park and use your cell phone. The fine is the general fine of $100 to $200. This has given y'all headaches. I know it has. Changes in law, and Melissa Pace is going to go over this topic in greater detail, but we've got changes in safety belt offenses. Used to be that the passenger couldn't be ticketed. Now the passenger in the back seat or front seat can be ticketed if they're under the age of 15. So we're not going to ticket the 5-year-old that the parent or babysitter didn't put in the child safety seat. But if you're a passenger, front or back, over the age of 15, then the passenger and the driver can be ticketed. I hate to cut you off. Go ahead. Melissa will cover it, but we've got to ask questions. Yeah. So the question is, you're driving the vehicle, you're driving your vehicle down the street, and someone in the back unbuckles. The driver doesn't know this. That is going to be at the discretion of the police officer. Under the law, the driver can be cited and the passenger can be cited. The officer has the opportunity roadside to handle that. I know we've had cases where a mother has had trouble keeping the toddler in the seat, and the prosecutor, the officer, can use their discretion there. Now, you may have a matter of proof there. Okay, so here the passenger got the ticket and was throwing the driver under the bus. Ouch. Well, that's not the job of... Now, if your passenger wants to go down to municipal court and sign a complaint saying, this driver, I happen to know, was not wearing their seatbelt, then more power to him. It is going to be the discretion of the officer, right? If the driver told the passenger to put the seatbelt on, that again, I don't know that the law specifically said that. That might have been common practice. So, the law didn't say that. That may have been a practice in a local court. I'm going to cough into my microphone. So I'm going to move on from that now. I hope I answered your question. But again, Melissa will cover it in more detail. We got a new offense, operator of a passenger van. In the past, operators of passenger vans were exempted. And so now we have gotten a little tougher on that. We still have a ways to go with school buses, but now a passenger van, if you're under 17, then the operator can be cited. All right, what's wrong with this picture? He's naked, yeah, right. There are so many things wrong with this picture. Look, can you see what's right there? I didn't see this. And there's a witty bitty foot. There's a baby squished in there. So there are many things wrong with this picture. But now we've got a new offense. It is an offense to have a child under the age of 5 on your motorcycle. The fine is 100. 10 minutes, thanks. I did that, thank you. You are so awesome. I'm taking you with me on the road. Now, there is an exemption if emergency or law enforcement purpose. I cannot imagine a law enforcement purpose for having a 4-year-old on a motorcycle. So y'all think about that over the break. There'll be another ruler for the person who comes up with one. So what about helmet laws in the state? Helmet laws, do you have to wear a helmet? Under 25. All right, so it is an offense to if you don't wear a helmet, but there are these exemptions, exceptions. One, if you're over 25 and you've got the qualifying insurance. So it's pretty much, it's an offense, but there are ways, if we don't have to pay to scrape you up off the road, then you are exempted from wearing a helmet. But an officer, a police officer, can't pull you over, can't pull a motorcycle operator over just to see if that person is insured or if they're under 25. We said 21. It's 21. That cannot be the reason you pull someone over, to determine if there is an exception to wearing a helmet. Now, we have that with other offenses. It has to be the secondary offense. There has to be a primary offense for the officer to be able to pull that over. Now, in practice, I don't know if that happens or, you know, I don't know. I can't tell you a prosecutor's story where the defense was, wait a minute, the officer had no other reason to pull me over but to determine my age or whether I had insurance.
So is it 25 or 21?
It's 21. Was it 25? It's 21 now. 21. Yeah, you got your statute. That is, I've got 21. That is 661.004. I've got my research assistants here of the transportation code. This is where you find the helmet law in 661.004. I go to 9:30, right, Levada?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This, I'm just going to show you the slide here. This is a source of confusion. I guess that's really what we are talking about this morning. What made us go, what confused us this year? Well, the current law, meaning last year's law, need to change that. This sets out the fines for someone who parks in a disabled spot without the proper tags or hanger on their window. But here the Senate passed one bill and the House passed another bill. Fine. But they had different fine amounts for second and, is it first and second? Okay, so we have different fine amounts. Any of your courts fining up to $750 for this offense? So in the practical application, it hasn't come up much in our legal calls, but we do have conflicting laws on the books there. All right, we've got a new compliance dismissal. One more thing for you, and this is what you're dealing with at the window, it's these compliance dismissals. So here, if the placard is renewed within 20 days, then you can get a compliance dismissal, but it has to not be expired more than 60 days. So sort of like the inspection stickers, same standards there. Just like the inspection sticker, $20 fine. Okay, back to new law with passenger safety seat systems. It increases the age from under 5 and less than 36 inches to under 8, unless over 4'9". So I guess our officers have got their yardsticks in their car. And the reason for this is just in the face of studies of toddlers, that there was just too much data showing that toddlers had to be restrained, that being in a regular seat belt was just not safe. So it's basically a toddler seat law. Anybody having headaches over that law? Our headache is that the legislature gave it this warning period. And some courts thought, well, I can't write a ticket anymore, or not the courts, but the officers. I can't enforce this law at all versus I can only enforce the toddler, I can't enforce the toddler safety seat provision until June 1st. Well, thankfully, we're past June 1st and the issue is settled. Inexplicably, the fine was $100 to $200. We want parents, caretakers, to put babies in car seats, right? And we use the fine as an incentive, as the motive to comply with the law. But the legislature has reduced the fine for the first offense to $25. Go figure. Okay. So I'm going to go through this fast because we are covering it later this afternoon. So if you're under 8, unless you're 4'9", then you've got to be in a child safety seat. $25 is the fine on first offense, $250 for the second. All right, court cost. What's the court cost on this conviction? Everybody know, I've got an answer in the front. What's the court cost on a conviction of this offense? 15 cents. Anybody have any heartburn over this? One heartburn.
If it's a
conviction. Well, I'm sorry, what was the question? No, the fine is $25. And 15 cent for court cost. Yes, ma'am. It used to be $100, and now it's $25.15. Now, this is different. What were you going to say, Lobato?
There's the regular court.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. You've got your regular child safety traffic fund. Thanks for calling me on that. Yeah, right. You do have your regular court costs. The state is still going to get their piece. Yeah, right. No, that's right. It does add up. We've just reduced the fine. Now, this court cost is different than every other court cost but one. And this court cost, most of the other statutes with court cost, if it's a deferred, they define conviction as a conviction, or if you get deferred community service, they're still going to collect the court cost. This statute here does not have that language that it applies to deferred as well. So this is only going to be on a conviction. Now, I bet a lot of your judges give deferred on this. And so you're not going to have that many convictions. I know when I went to Houston, Houston is dealing with this a lot. Your bigger municipalities are dealing with this. But this is just one thing that keeps you going, keeps you on your toes, job security. It does not apply to DSC, right. Anything other than a straight conviction, you're not going to use this 15-cent court cost. That was effective last year. Enforcement date, June 1st, as we talked about. Thankfully, we're past that. Now, I am going to just cover one more point on this 15-cent court cost. The 15-cent court cost is, you're trying to send this to the comptroller. Where is the form? I believe I've got the form in your materials. The comptroller is having almost as many headaches as you are with this. Calls are, my finance department is not going to cut a check for 30 cents. My finance department will not cut a check for under $10. Another interesting thing about this court cost is there's no penalty for paying it late. There's no penalty provision in the law. There's also no incentive for paying it on time. So I have heard directly from the comptroller handling this, please don't worry about it. When you collect enough money, send it in then. Do not feel like you've got to get this court cost that's due within 30 days to us, so we can just let that build up to your finance department wants to cut a check. The last thing I want to talk to you about is the 10-cent moving violation, court cost on moving violations. All right, 10 cents on every moving violation. Well, what's a moving violation? I wrote an article in the Recorder, not the last one, but the one before that. The confusion is it a rules of the road violation? Because we've got a specific court cost that if it's in 541 to 600 of the transportation code, we've got to apply those court costs. But all moving violations aren't in the transportation code. Can anybody think of one that's not? It's a moving violation. You've got to be in a moving car to do it, but it's not in the transportation code. Is that right?
Yeah.
This is no fair. You've seen this before. Yeah. I want to hear from somebody else. What is an offense that we deal with in our courts that is not in transportation code? I see lips moving. Anybody? What about open container? What about DUI? DUI is in our alcohol offenses. DUI is in the alcoholic beverage code. Open container is in the penal code. Just know that DPS is in charge of what constitutes a moving violation, and they have a list. On this list, until last week, using a cell phone in a school zone was not on this list. So clerks are calling and saying, you have to be in a moving vehicle to commit this offense, but you're telling me it's not a moving violation? Well, last week, DPS moved on this, and we have a new moving violation chart. So make sure that you get back to your offices, tell your coworkers we've got a new moving violation chart. You will find it on our website. So that's there. They have adjusted for the new laws. There are still some goofy things on there, like things, acceleration of speed, that is now some things that are not in our jurisdiction. There are some things on that list that are no longer offenses, but it is a guide, and we do now charge that 10-cent court cost for the cell phone violation. So I'm going to leave that with you this morning. This is an official break. Go out there and check out a T-shirt and get some coffee or water, tea, and bathroom break. And I'll see you back here in 15 minutes. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you didn't? Never. Did not even cross my mind.
writing that article is where I thought, wait a minute, this isn't on there. That's not on there.